So, all right. So, you know what?
What?
Oh, wait. Are we at that part of the show?
Let's just skip to the end.
Are we?
Hey, as always, I want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town.
I love that you just picked that up and ran with it. All right, dude. All right, Doc. I have a fucking story for the Potty Waddy.
Okay, here we go.
Well, no, I can't tell it yet. It'll come in time.
Let's just make sure we keep calling the show the Potty Waddy.
The Potty Waddy, bro. Yeah. I literally just wrote that in the notes. Nice.
Okay, cool.
But just best believe it ends with me, I'm walking on sunshine. Woo! Like that, right?
Okay, little song.
Okay, yeah. But I can't. Did you even notice my haircut, dude?
No.
And that's not written down.
I just like, it's just slick back as usual.
Nah, dog. Nice. I just got my, got a little fresh, got the ears lowered.
Okay.
All right. So if at the time of my first divorce, it was with a Natalie Strahan. Okay.
Okay. Yeah. I remember this.
That's Baby Mama.
It blew my mind the first time. Yeah.
All right. And then at the time of my second divorce.
Yeah.
It too is with a Natalie Strahan.
That's going to be interesting.
That's one divorce.
It's
like double jeopardy. I think it's in the Bill of Rights.
It never happened.
It's one divorce, dude. That's the loophole. I think it's in the Magna Carta.
Yeah. Easily. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
UN.
Yeah, yep.
Judges.
One divorce. Fuck you, Pops.
Podcast.
Oh shit! Okay, bitches, you guys are gonna be mind blown.
Oh, we're going to Pound Town. We're going to Pound Town. Yeah! They're podcasting.
We're podcasting right now.
Social nuisance.
Social nuisance podcast. How you guys doing?
Welcome to Pound Town. Yeah, awesome.
Social nuisance podcast. Hello and welcome to the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Yo.
Your weekly discussion of all things current requiring further insight, opinions, questions, and otherwise kicking your face perspectives towards the betterment of humanity. Subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you're listening to help Pound Town grow. And get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, become a short sponsor and we'll advertise or shout out whatever you want just by dropping the dollar in the Venmo at Social Nuisance. And first and foremost, I got to apologize to my wife on that one.
Why?
So the last show I did, it was Drinks by Daisy.
Uh-huh.
Follow her on Instagram.
Yeah.
Except that's not her Instagram handle.
Oh. It should be now because we already did the show.
Yeah, yeah. Now she has to revise it. No, it's Cocktails by Daisy.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. Get freshened up with a nice cocktail.
Cock.
By Daisy. Yeah. Tail. So that's cocktails.by.daisy on Instagram. Yeah. And Daisy is a DAISSEY. Cocktails.by.daisy.
Yeah, Daisy spells it like not a... Well, I guess it's not Daisy spells it, right? It's like parents spell it like
Parents wanted to be out the box.
Yeah, so, out the box.
Out the box.
Oh, with a couple of them, huh? They all got kind of fucking weird names, huh?
Ish,
yeah, huh?
Yeah. You think about it.
There's the one who believed in...
The Underground Railroad?
No, that was not...
That was not them.
She kept calling her... What's a... type of wine? Marilyn, it's Marilyn Monroe, but she kept calling her Marilyn and then a kind of wine.
Merlot?
Yeah, Marilyn Merlot.
Okay.
She's like, wow. you like Marilyn Merlot. I'm like, you're fucking hammered, bro. You look like you like Bobby Tequila.
You've been having one too many cocktails.
That was a good time.
By Daisy. My name is Imagine, and joining me as always, the only man I know who wanted to grow up to be a Disney princess. Motion.
Yep. Oh, shit. My cable's.
There you go.
Yeah, yep. Dude. Yeah, I mean, anytime my dad calls me by my born name, I just tuck it back, you know, because I know what he wants. He wants Daddy's Little Princess.
So I just went with it.
Yep.
Yeah. Motion, how you doing, man?
I'm all right. A lot of irons in the fire, right? Isn't that what I said I'd say anytime I'm not doing all right?
a lot of irons in the fire. That's true. That is true.
How are you, brother?
I've been pretty stressed out lately. So
why?
Last week, we were supposed to do a show.
Uh-huh.
Pushed it back to help out my brother move some stuff with his car. But it was coincidentally enough, I wasn't going through like a nervous breakdown, but
okay.
I was definitely like I maxed out of my stress level. So conveniently enough, we didn't do the show. And I spent pretty much Wednesday up until this past Monday.
A good 4 or 5 days.
Trying to calm down.
Yeah.
Didn't work entirely.
Oh man.
Just a little bit. But yeah, I mean, just being having that awareness of like, hey, I'm really stressed out,
yeah,
and I just need to like calm down. Everyone just needs to take a pause.
Yeah.
So, you know, Daisy kind of left me alone at home, and you know, she had the baby, and you know, just kind of left me alone.
You ever seen those posts on Facebook? I never see them on Instagram, probably because women run Instagram, because that's ass and titties. But on Facebook, do you ever see those posts where it's just like, he goes to work without complaining, he like provides this without doing that, da 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 da, and like dads are always at the edge.
Oh yeah.
And just like, you know, like shout out to, I see that post once a day, a variation of that post. Mm-hmm. And so I never like it because yeah. That's kind of like, you know, self like, but it's true, dude. Like I don't know how dads keep their shit together, man.
I mean, dads, moms, I mean, anyone who really just.
Yeah, but moms get that credit. Or they're like I always had a rule. Like, did you compliment your mother?
Okay, that's true.
You know, like we're always consoling them. Okay. Because we need to fuck them. You know?
I know what it takes.
But like, in all actuality, like no one ever just goes like, hey, you probably had a really fucked up day at work today.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, or I mean, maybe not even at work, or just maybe you know, like even in a relationship, in a lot of relationships, I know it's 2021 and it's a different era, but even in a lot of relationships, most relationships, it takes the two, right? It's a husband-wife combination to tackle the problems.
Yeah, just two significant others. Yeah, sure.
But at the end of the day, it's like it's really on the husband. So like I could have, say, my part of the mortgage and she could have her part of the mortgage.
Sure.
But it's usually that it's I still have to take care of it. Like, you know, and I'm saying I, not as in me, but as in like in a man. And that, I guess it wouldn't even say that. Pretend your chick is better. At paying the bills and handling, I'm fucking walking on eggshells. I know. I'm looking at the way you're looking at me, and you're just no, like,
I'm analyzing it.
But what I'm saying is when it fails,
yeah,
when the system breaks down,
sure,
it's on him.
Okay, yeah, I mean, he'll get the blame.
Or how
yeah.
about this? He feels that way.
Oh yeah, I feel
even
that
if
way.
It's not, even yeah. if the world's perspective is just like it was 50-50,
right?
But at the end of the day, the pure weight of having to have provided or failed.
Mm-hmm.
Primarily rests on that man's shoulders.
Mm-hmm.
Now, hopefully he was wise enough to pick a woman that can help out mm-hmm. whatever way he decides or she decides.
Right.
You know, whatever way the relationship decides.
Sure.
Whether it's half the mortgage or it's stay at home.
Right.
Or it's all the mortgage and I stay at home.
Sure.
Whatever the formula may be. But at the end of the day, when it fails, it usually rests on his shoulders.
Yeah. I think that's I think both of us have a conservative mindset to an extent. Like we're old fashioned to an extent.
Yeah.
We're different all about, you know, progression, 50-50, feminism, so mm-hmm. on and so forth. But there's still some, I guess, qualities, for lack of a better term, where we're still like,
yeah. I mean, I definitely
old fashioned in a sense.
It's a terrible example because it fell apart, but I definitely married into my culture because I thought that there were roles that I was comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
So I married into this culture. My culture that I was raised into, because I wanted this type of woman.
Right.
And I thought it would be unfair to take a woman from another culture
mm.
and push her into this position.
Sure.
Because she was raised differently.
Right.
Come to find out, you know, I don't know. But it's still like,
that should have been a pretty good option.
I don't know. You know, maybe I should be a little more culturally diverse.
Yeah. It's really helpful, at least speaking towards my marriage, my experience. Yeah, having that other person that is able to support and pick yeah. up the slack when you need to, it is definitely nice. But I think even then, even before my marriage and before relationships, I've always just carried the weight of the world on my shoulders.
Yeah.
It's just always been a thing. Some way, some form, somehow, I'm always feeling responsible for everything.
Yeah.
And I can never shake that. So even now, it's like tenfold that I do have a marriage and have a
Do
child.
You think that is part of... the harmony of our relationship, that I feel like a lot of times when you and I feel like you kind of throw inhibition to the wind when you're with me.
Most bad influences I hang out with, yeah.
Yes! Judges? What happened to them?
Yeah, I don't know.
No.
Yeah. The show started, we're out of here. Yeah.
We're done judging, you fuckos. yeah, no, I always wonder that, like, because I feel like, I know that when we go out, you are always hyper aware, and there's a reason that I feel safe with you,
mm-hmm.
but I always feel like there's, it maybe, I think it might be after like 3.5 hours,
mm-hmm.
we're just kind of both like, oh, we're going, you know, we're chugging along, bro. We're like that little, I think I can, I think I can, yeah, I yeah, think yeah. I, on our way to a great fucking time.
That's true.
But yeah, I don't know. I've been trying to evaluate. I've been reassessing my entire life's worth of relationships and trying to figure out who I've given way too much credit to and who I haven't given enough credit to and who I think is in their right place. And as you were saying, you know, about that, I just was thinking, I was just like, I was kind of reflecting on our great times. And it's like, there are exact moments where I could be like, you're like, fuck it.
Yeah.
And it's always on your end, because I'm fuck it from when I showed up.
That's true.
I was fuck it from the minute I came out the snack.
You walked in, you son of a bitch, I'm in. Absolutely. Yeah. And so I think the being stressed out these past couple weeks. Well, yeah, past couple weeks, but then.
I just realized my phone went off.
Climax this past week.
That's that's rough, man. I wish, you know what? I got to do better at checking in, because I had no idea. And that's rude of me. I should have an idea of how my friend is feeling.
I think, but the thing though, I'm not one to, you know, put it on a loudspeaker or amplify.
No, absolutely.
Hey, I'm having a hard time. Or even if I needed support beyond what I can get at home, then I would definitely have my immediate circle. Like, hey, I need an out.
Yeah.
We're going to go get a beer. We're going to go do something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think I definitely have that. But it was more of like a, okay, the world needs a timeout.
Yeah.
I'm just going to.
And that was part of it.
Chill out. Yeah. This was part of it too. So that, but now that I'm back, I feel okay.
Do you have like a tactic or a strategy or a process to help kind of wind you back down?
I pretend like I'm Thanos.
Yeah.
And I try snapping.
A lot?
A lot, until I feel like I've snapped enough people out.
Oh, you mean literally snapping?
I get to a point where I need less people.
Yeah.
There's too much socialness going on.
What were we saying that whole year? Remember, this place is way too people-y.
Yeah.
This place is way too people-y.
This is too people-y.
This is way too people-y.
Yeah, yeah.
What are we doing here?
I walk outside my doorstep, I'm like, no.
It's too people-y. Going back in. Going right back in.
Exactly. So I just don't know what to do with the world. I mean, there's too many shit things out there, like Bishop Sycamore. Have you heard of Bishop Sycamore? This past week?
Don't know if I have. Is this the fake?
This is the fake.
Okay, break it down. I know, I've heard. I don't know.
Okay, so you've heard about this.
Yes.
So there is allegedly a school that is getting credit for duping ESPN. So this is what happened. ESPN broadcasted a game between this school called Bishop Sycamore.
South Harmon Institute of Technology.
Yep. And another school by IMG Academy. And whenever ESPN broadcasts a high school game, it's on the pretense of like, hey, there's some people to watch in this game. So this is going to be a really good game.
Yeah.
It needs to be broadcasted. Except that's not what happened. During the second quarter of its 58-0 loss by IMG Academy on Sunday, Bishop Sycamore got some, not necessarily unwarranted attention, but probably the attention it was looking to get by ESPN. And ESPN was like, hey, I think we got screwed here. And the final score turned out to be 558-0. And they started looking into who the hell is Bishop Sycamore.
You mean Googling?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, they Googled on there.
They didn't Google.
Who is Bishop Sycamore? And
how did
they get on ESPN? And it just started to snowball. And as the different layers started coming off of this blooming onion, they realized that Bishop Sycamore is not all it cracked up to be.
At all.
So look up the Bishop Sycamore website.
Nothing I heard they there. Just got Cam Newton.
He got released. He's available. website was bunk. The high school football coach was fired from the school, but turns out that was okay because the coach had warrants.
Yeah, so I heard about that too.
It just got incredibly awkward and incredibly...
So what it was a group of coaches recruited students.
Yeah.
And the ages were crazy. It was like 15 to 21-year-olds.
Yeah.
Nobody said anything?
No.
Like, how old are you? 19. What the fuck?
This is high school?
Yeah, what are you...
Yeah, what of it?
Yeah, right? And then they also told people that they were going to be on Hard Knocks or Next Chance University.
Okay.
Which is a Netflix show where like kids who fuck up make a football team.
Got it.
And so they had all these premises put together. And yeah, the coach had a warrant the whole time. Well, but I don't hold that against him because, you know, truth be told, your boy is a little wild.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
But what happened... further upon looking at these blooming onion layers, mm-hmm. is that they realized that the Bishop Sycamore School, again, was pretty much a pats. Nothing yeah. there. So
at all.
They write bounce checks to different hotels that they would stay at. Yeah. They would contact more elite schools. Hey, we'll play your school, but we don't have enough cash to come and compete.
Yeah.
So if your school wouldn't mind loaning us some money so we can come out there and we'll play you guys, and, you know, we'll build up some excitement, I guess.
Yes.
And
I mean, they even have videotape of them stealing food from Walmart.
Yeah, apparently, because there was no money to go around.
How do you get that deep down, like, as a man? Like, you and I were just talking about the anxiety of being, like, a legitimate man.
Yeah.
Can you imagine these fucking shitbags?
Yeah.
Like, dude, we got to feed these 30, not really kids, because half of them are over 18.
Yeah, well, some of them are kids. Some of them are in high school.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
And, like, just, I don't, you know, when you think of, like, Madoff and stuff, I can see how it gets that carried away. People always go, like, how did you get $4 billion? Like, I'm like, no, once you dig the hole, like, you just keep digging, you know what I mean? Yeah. But that was at least rewarding. These guys were like begging the whole time.
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude.
I don't understand how someone can get that deep into scamming. But then again, I mean, some people are just wired that way. I just couldn't believe it. What was funny about this whole story was the fact that they got as far as they did, and ESPN was like, hey, we're a legitimate organization, and we totally got screwed over.
Absolutely. So that's what I was wondering. Do you remember there was, I don't know if you were a fan of Howard Stern, but there was a generation a good couple of years where his fans would call in and essentially prank call like news networks.
Oh.
And like say terrible things like, do you remember when the San Francisco plane landed before the harbor and it crashed? And it was like, what was most memorable about the situation was there was bodies on the land, on the tarmac, and the fire trucks were running over them by accident to put out the blaze.
Oh, wow.
But a Howard Stern fan called in and was like, oh, the pilot, because it came from Asia, was like, they reported the names as like, ooh, fuck, too low.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I don't remember the name, but you remember the story I'm saying.
Yeah.
I don't know what that has to do with. No. So what I'm saying is, how does that get that deep into like broadcast network? Like ESPN is owned by Disney.
Yeah.
Nobody Googled? Because if you Google the address of the school, it is a house of the coach.
I heard it was a P.O. box.
Oh, I heard it was a house.
What the hell do we know? ESPN doesn't know.
Fucking major media. Maybe we should do that. Let's delve into media. Yeah. Who are we? Where our crack team is as good as ESPN's crack team.
My Google is as good as their Google. Oh. Yeah, I mean, some people just don't have a value for, you know, fellow humans.
Yeah.
And I think that's where I care too much about humans, that I go out into the world and it's too people-y and there's too many bad people. I'm like, I just don't want to deal with you guys today. I'm going to go home and podcast and talk about it instead, because that's how I can contribute to the conversation.
Yay, yay.
But as far as like going out there and like, man, just too much people. But then again, it's just there's too many bad people, and it just blows my mind.
Well, you know what? I mean, that always goes to like when you guys told me you were pregnant, and then that we didn't know that it was that he was going to be a young man. I was just like excited that like good people are having a kid.
Yeah.
You know, because like there's bad people have kids by the litter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, dude, we need to have more good kids out there. Yeah. And you know, it kind of stems from that. But you know, whatever. We'll all need Uber drivers later on in life.
I saw a meme not too long ago. Came and went. It's gone. Yeah.
Yep. Oh, the meme?
No, yeah. Just
the idea? You just forgot
it. It was in my head and it just.
Are you done with this topic?
Maybe.
I got something I could say.
Okay, let's go.
So I started doing stand-up.
Yep. Oh, fantastic. Yeah, all right. I've heard.
Fans of the podcast have kind of been not asking for it, but, you know, people have been talking about it. When are you going to... remember we did the guest spot on the other podcast? It's like, when are you going to go on tour?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not on tour, but I've been doing stand-up. Uh-huh. And the first week I did it, I went up 9 nights straight, and I just absolutely fell in love with it. And it parlayed fast. Like, it was like, hey, I saw you. Can you open for me? Cool. And then after opening for him, can you feature this show? And then cool, I'm gonna be at the improv. You can't go on stage, but you wanna come kick it with us? And then cool, like, and then like just it just went fast as fuck, you know?
It's amazing what happens when you just say yes to stuff.
Right?
Yeah.
So in doing so, I was doing a show in Norwalk, and it was my first LA show, because most everything I was doing was Inland Empire, and I'm East LA brat. And it felt good to be like with my crowd. Like that's my gente, dude. Like, you know, East LA Cholos, like,
right.
That's my, even though I'm a white boy, but they know me. And yeah. You know, it's game recognized game. And mid, the Dodgers were playing.
Priorities. And
mid show, dude, I mean, they had it muted.
Okay.
But mid show, this girl just says, "Oh my God, I follow the Dodgers Instagram." I fell in love. I was like, "Who is this bitch? Who just said that?" I'm like, you can't see, you know, past the stage. I'm like, "Who is?" That's the girl. That's the voice that raised me. That fucking right there. I bet you got bangs, bitch. Long ass eyelashes. Smell like Aquanet. I need one of those in my life.
Yeah,
but I probably don't.
Yeah,
you know. But that, I just was like, when I heard, I was like, "Oh my God, I follow Dario's Instagram." I was just like, I went 6 to midnight, bro. I was erect.
Who's that?
Yeah, I was like, "Who are you? Wait, hold on."
That's funny. She probably has an OnlyFans.
I don't know about that anymore.
Yeah,
I felt like that's what, whatever Michelle said to get Barack, that was my Michelle.
So the OnlyFans saga continues. So have you heard about the OnlyFans? Like, they're doing it, they're not doing
it.
So
we've been off a couple weeks.
Yeah.
Let me tell you what I heard.
Okay.
I heard they're getting rid of like the high risk porn, not like nudity, but because the credit card companies are saying you don't actually verify if any of these girls are 18 or not.
Yeah.
And we don't want to be responsible for the distribution of child pornography.
Right.
So the creditors, like Visa, not creditors, but Visa, MasterCard, merchants.
Yeah.
We're saying we're not going to participate. So then that's when they came out with the, like, no nudity allowed. But then Jesus Christ, did the world flip over, right?
Yes.
It was like the polls fucking swapped and the world spun around real fast.
Yeah.
And they just said, okay, we're not taking it back. We'll just find a way to better monitor.
Yeah.
That's where I left off with it. What is it now?
It's back on again. So from them saying, hey, we're going to remove certain aspects of the sexual nature from OnlyFans, the world lost its shit. Uh-huh. And then shortly thereafter, like, nah, just kidding. We're bringing it back.
It must be a really insane. You know, cocaine is like a $300 billion a month industry. And no one ever goes, let's make it legal.
Yeah.
How much money is OnlyFans making that they just go, hey, we're not going to do this anymore. And then the world freaks out and they go, okay, my bad. We'll do it.
Yeah.
How much are they killing?
I have no idea, but it's enough.
They're banking. It's
definitely enough. So there's two things I wanted to unload with OnlyFans, and they kind of tie into each other. So the OnlyFans saga, now that they're back.
Before you do it.
Yeah.
Should you unload it on my face on our OnlyFans and we get more subscribers, or are you just going to unload it on the pod for free?
I'm going to do it on the pod for free.
On the potty waddy.
I'm a giver.
All right, let's give it.
So first and foremost, why does America hate sex workers? Like, why does America have such a
Christian a nation?
So back in 2018, a law was established. Short acronym is not really much of an acronym. The FOSTA SESTA. FOSTA-SESTA.
I guarantee you Mormon came up with that.
Probably. The Fight Online Sex Trafficking Act and the Stop Enabling Sex Traffickers Act.
Oh, that's actually what I would have guessed.
Yeah.
When you said the FOSTA Mustafa?
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it was.
Sorry.
So it was signed in 2018 and it established penalties for up to 10 years in prison for a person who, using a facility or means of interstate or foreign commerce, owns, manages, or operates an interactive computer service or attempts to conspire to do so to promote or facilitate the prostitution of another person. Pretty much saying
prostitution, though.
Prostitution of another person. Yeah,
that's very different than pornographic material.
Once this came out, this is when Craigslist ended its personal ads. So
they're gone?
You didn't know?
I just thought I fell off. I just stopped getting emails. I just figured.
I just stopped getting like
it up. I didn't know that.
Yeah, Craigslist was
notorious to
for the yard sales,
yeah.
Gig work, and
pussy.
Prostitution.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I think you can buy a pistol through.
Sure, why not? It's Craigslist. And so in 2018, Craigslist stopped hosting those personal ads because of this law.
Uh-huh.
The concern being, just like you said, you can't confirm if someone that is on the site is being sex trafficked, being advertised, underage, so on and so forth. And because they didn't want to be liable for any of that stuff, they ceased their personal ads.
In theory, though, well, I guess this is why you get arrested. What I'm saying is, if Craigslist was a street,
yeah,
would the city be responsible if there's a 16-year-old hooker out there? What I'm saying is,
yeah, I see what you're saying.
If you advertise, like, that's the block.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, so, but also, they do arrest you if you do that.
Right.
So kind of like they are saying like, yeah, we're responsible for this. You're going to jail.
Yeah.
So I, as I spoke, I neutralized my own point.
I guess.
Thanks for riding along with that for you.
You're welcome. Sure. So OnlyFans kind of rode that wave as well as did the creditors. So okay. The merchants.
Merchants, yeah.
Yep. So Visa, MasterCard, they were like, we don't want to be liable for this stuff, so we're disassociating. Yeah. So that's when OnlyFans said we're out. But then they retracted. They said they figured it all out, so they're back. But it just brought about the question of, you know, why do we still have this stigma against the validation of sex work?
Yeah.
And that's the corporate aspect. Why does commerce still hate prostitution?
Well, that's tough to say because obviously commerce in this situation loves it. But I think it has to do with our core values, mm-hmm. our foundation, being that we essentially came and sprouted out of religiously persecuted people. And for some weird fucking reason, like even when we vote, like the fact that Barack Obama had to come out as a Christian irritated me. Mm. Like I just felt like you were above that. Maybe he is Christian. I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
I mean, the pictures of him were with Muslims all through college.
Sure.
Doesn't mean you're Muslim. Right. Maybe you're just a young black man and you want to be with idealist. Mm. That's cool. But there were no pictures of you at, like, I don't know, fucking Orange County Christian Church, whatever, or Jesus Christ of LA. But that doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. What I'm just saying is this day and age, like, you know, it was controversial when JFK was Catholic.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like,
yep.
Like, why are we asking? I get why we're asking for religious perspective, because we don't want you to think, we don't want you to take the reins of this horse and think that only your lifespan matters.
Right.
We want you to believe that if you fuck up, you're going to spend an eternity in hell. But it's not that anymore.
Yeah.
None of us go to fucking church.
Yeah. But
definitely no one listening to this shit.
yeah, definitely not this hoe. But the other piece too is not just the commerce aspect of, you know, American government that does not validate sex work. But the backlash of the against sex workers by normal people.
But how about this? The backlash of them trying to get rid of the nudity spoke volume. The fact that they said we're not going to have sex and nudity no more on the page. 2 days later, they were just like, "Oh fuck!" It was like the world flipped on the axis flipped.
Yeah.
The fact that it was a way louder response.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the people spoke, they want their prostitutes.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, like, where are we now? Literally, like, the industry tried to change mm-hmm. and then was put back in its place
yeah.
by word of mouth.
Yeah.
And the word was.
I think that the shock was, you know, OnlyFans, people should do what they want to do. But then that was one side. But I saw more of the other side where a lot of the jokes were like, oh, now they got to get a real job. Now I'm back to flipping burgers.
Well, I saw one that was like, now I got to go back to fucking your husband.
Yeah, I saw that one too. That was pretty funny. But I saw so much of this perpetuation of like, oh.
Yeah, they're bad people, trash people.
No, not even that. Like, again, the invalidation of sex work as being work.
Yeah.
So if someone who is a model who spends time, effort, lighting, location, photographers, outfits, so on and so forth to get a good photo that will sell versus same exact thing, but video wise that will sell, but that requires a certain amount of work and dedication to ensure that your content is consistently up.
What's happening here is we're in a part of transition in entertainment and multimedia. You know, there was a time when we would do the silent films and mm-hmm. then became the talkies.
Sure.
You know that the actors of the silent films would shit on the people who were talking in movies, like Charlie Chaplin would shit on. And then you had like really famous actresses that when they went to the talkies, their voices were scratching and irritating.
Yeah.
And that was a part of evolution.
Yeah.
This is just a part of evolution of entertainment. Like what the people who are hating on it are the people who are losing control. It's the major media groups, the ones who get to filter and have access. It's we're ending the generation of in order to be a part of the press, you have to own the printing press.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We're ending that. Now right. we're at like access of YouTube and OnlyFans where it's just like right. we're all the printing press now.
So do you think the media companies are the ones putting out those memes talking about
I mean, not necessarily not the work? Memes, but I think they're definitely trying to generate hate.
Yeah.
You know? I
wouldn't say that. No, I see where you're going with that, but that's not relative to the sex workers versus you know, content creators on YouTube,
no, but
YouTubers, influencers, so on and so forth. If that was the case, you would see more damaging.
But how many of those people, for instance,
discussions?
The Paul brothers are now signed to Showtime.
Yeah.
You think they're going to be fond of people? They came from YouTube.
Yeah.
But they're going to do anything they could do to knock down people with the opposing. How many of these influencers now are on NBC or on, like, they're starting to absorb that. Just like when MTV did reality TV, and then all of a sudden everybody did reality TV.
Yeah.
Like, I think they're in this process of evolution. There was a I'm extrapolating it. I know. I'm sorry. I guess I can't focus. Russell Brand did this thing about the rotating door of defense companies, executives into politics, into media. And he used like Condoleezza Rice and Colin Powell and a couple other names, but how they went from politics into defense, and then now they're like executives at CNN.
Sure.
And what it is, it's we want to influence your thought process,
right,
so that you keep buying bullets.
Sure.
Okay. And I think that's what it is. Obviously not, you know, mongering.
Yep.
There's not an L?
No.
Let's put one in there. No, but that's what it is with this. Like, I think that the influence coming from, like, the people saying, that's wrong, that's ill, that's disgusting, that's inappropriate.
Yeah.
It's old media.
Right.
I don't think it's us.
Right.
Because when they try to change it, I mean, I don't give a shit if, what OnlyFans rules, I don't have an OnlyFans account, I'm not subscribed to one.
Right.
But the backlash, or also, how about this? Was it real backlash, or was it like Twitter backlash and they caved? Like, you know when JCPenney is told to cancel Ellen, and it's just like, and maybe it's like 1,000 people on Twitter.
True.
But is that really noise? But 1,000 people at Twitter all complaining at once. That it seems like noise.
With the OnlyFans thing of the fans saying we need the content creators on OnlyFans to do what they do and bring it back. I didn't see any of that. So again, the whole point of me bringing this up out of my curiosity was the constant downplaying of sex work, and I don't understand why everyone was so quick to jump on that bandwagon of talking shit about sex workers and continuing to invalidate what they deem as work, and just seeing all the memes and seeing all that commotion.
See, and what,
and I didn't understand. I just don't get why people are so opposed to someone having the ability to make money on their own. Whether it be selling sex, selling photos, but selling home videos.
Who do you know feels that way? Who do you know has a problem with that? Do you know anybody?
Personally?
Yeah.
No.
I don't either.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
So that noise could be people on Twitter or old media.
Twitter, but I'm also talking about morning radio shows, talk radio shows.
That's old media. They're freaking out because we're listening to podcasts on the street, on our way to work. We don't listen.
I guess.
That's old media. Okay. But what I'm saying is, like, when it comes, took my breath away was the backlash. The backlash was swift and fucking loud.
I didn't see any of it. So you're telling me, like, dude, who do you know? I didn't know anyone on either of it. So I'm just seeing the chatter.
Well, yeah, me either. But I mean, on my Instagram, it was flooded with memes about the consequence of OnlyFans getting rid of nudity.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, how upset people were and what was going to happen and just... It was crazy. I was just like, damn, y'all are really upset that you can't. It's the internet. There's porn for free by the buckets. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But there was the backlash was strong enough, and we could agree on this, that they reversed the policy back. They go, my bad.
I suppose the backlash or the merchants, what have you, they decided to go back.
What I mean is, that the backlash was that fuck the merchants. We'll still, little kids could fuck, whatever it is.
Well, they said the merchants figured it out.
Oh, okay.
So they squared it all away.
Here's a consequence that came of that I want to talk about. Apple decided, you know, Apple was like, they were the company of privacy.
Mm-hmm.
When the government wanted access to someone's phone, they said, no, we can't do it.
Yep.
You got the phone, you figure it out.
I remember that.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Apple decided after this that they're going to search their iClouds for child pornography.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to produce an algorithm that will be able to help identify child pornography. Mm-hmm. And they're going to give all that information to whatever government, you know, if it's here, they're.
Right.
Here's the problem. What if it's 2 15-year-olds texting each other?
Mm-hmm.
And this is not a fucking tinfoil hat conspiracy theories. There are thousands of cases of child pornography.
Of kids going to kids.
Of mutual children.
Yeah.
Yeah. Apple's ready to scan it.
Yeah.
They're just, they got what, you know, whatever their fucking zeros and ones line up to be, toddler tits and so on and so forth.
Sure.
Bad example. Teenage tits.
Yeah.
And like now it's no longer, there's no more, oh, what's my biggest fear of the past 2 years? Intent. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not two children intending on coming of age together.
Right.
Now it's, you have this, you're evil. And the way the system is set up is it's whoever owns that phone. Mm-hmm. I don't know any teenagers who own their phone.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So you're saying, so parents
are going to start getting, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's.
Okay. So you, so a as, year a parent, ago, as a parent, you own the phone. And if your teenager if is using.
15, 16 year old son is acting like a 15 year old, 16 year old boy. And his 15, 16 year old girlfriend right. is acting like a 15 or 16 year old girlfriend.
Right.
Now, what?
So technically it's on my phone because I own the phone.
Well, here's the thing. It's not just that. It's like, it's the evidence is there as to whose problem it would be. Mm-hmm. But they're going to put you in the position where you're going to sacrifice your child, or is it on you?
Yeah. Interesting. Well, I mean, that's definitely a fair question. I would hope as an idealist that the system would treat each individual case as an individual case and hopefully common sense comes into play where they can you know, assess the situation appropriately.
I want to address what you said about individual cases real quick. I don't know if when the last time or if you've ever been in court for a criminal charge.
Yeah.
They set up the cases by like, okay, we got 40 DUIs. Mm-hmm. They all come in at 8:30 in the morning. They go, everybody stand up, put your right hand up. Mm-hmm. There's no individual case.
Right.
You all have this charge. Any of you that want to fight it, go to the right. Any of you that you want to plead guilty, sign this paperwork. Like there's no more individual case.
Well, like I said, as an idealist.
Yeah.
As an idealist, I would hope that they would treat each case individually.
Is this one a snoozer?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, right?
Nah.
We're solving things.
Yeah. We're solving more problems.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's why people contact us.
Did I already do my 2-for-1 divorce bit?
Yeah, that was solid.
All right, cool.
Totally with it.
Yeah, that was solid.
Yeah. Yeah. Lead off with that always.
Yeah. Oh, man. Yeah.
The first time you shared that story with me, I was like, wait a minute. Baby mama was Natalie as well?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I was like,
Vincent's mom.
I didn't know that.
Yep.
And then it brought me to the question, like, would I date someone that I had a serious relationship with that had the same name?
Well, up until we got married, they had different names.
I don't think I would.
You wouldn't. You never dated a girl with the same two names?
No.
You never had two Veronicas, two Victorias?
No, I mean...
Two Lorraines? I'm naming all the twos I've had.
Yeah, I had someone had the same...
Two Moniques, two Monicas?
One first name and one middle name was the same.
Oh.
They had different first names. Okay. I never addressed them like that. But like that, yeah, but I don't know. Because then I'm like, I don't know. That's I don't know. Maybe it's like a red flag to me. It's like, I can't do this again.
The same name?
Yeah, same name. Really? Yeah, starting all over again with a new relationship. I feel like I wouldn't be able to help myself in just continuously comparison.
I got another bit.
Yeah.
With both Natalies.
Oh, here we go.
All right. So I advise like people not to rush into serious relationships. Not because you don't know the person and you don't know like how you feel about them. I guarantee you have the feelings that merit like rushing into a serious relationship.
Sure.
But life provides experiences that only time will tell. Mm-hmm. For instance, both Natalies.
Yeah.
Both divorces. We didn't make our first major purchase till after we're married. Mm-hmm. And upon this moment, these bitches found out I don't have the best credit. And for some reason, in their racist ass heads, they thought white people had great credit. Mm-hmm. Stereotype. Disgusting.
I grew up in East LA.
Yeah, right?
Automatically, I start off with bad credits.
I never thought I would have to do this twice.
Yeah.
I had to look these broads in the eyes and go, look, dude, I married brown. If I had good credit, I would have married white. You're a reflection of my credit. So shut the fuck up, Best Buy. You're Curacao. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're a Rent-A-Center, honey.
Yeah.
I'm paying way too much for this mediocre experience.
Hmm. Nice.
That's it. Yep.
Solid.
You get weird around the racial ones, huh?
Well, I mean, I just don't like... I mean, I'm not familiar with it. I'm not...
Well, you know why? Because
I get why I get weird around racial stuff, because I don't like it.
Yeah.
For myself, because I always get pigeonholed because I'm Mexican.
I get pigeonholed into having good credit.
Yeah, well, the thing is, I'm Mexican, and people automatically assume that I speak Spanish.
Yeah.
That I'm fully indulgent in the culture, and that I fit every stereotype that they could possibly think of. And when they talk to me, like, "Oh, you don't do that? No. Oh, you don't do this? No. You've never done that? No."
Yeah.
And they get, people always react two different ways when I tell them I don't speak Spanish. Either they get really upset, or they start laughing. Without fail, it's always those two things.
Yeah.
Always those two things.
I was talking on stage the other day, and I said "stilo," and this girl was like, "That's a fucking Spanish word." I'm like, "Yeah, bitch, I'm from East Los. Like, yeah, I speak Spanish."
Yeah, you're a product of your environment.
Yeah, I can't say "stilo."
Yeah, and for myself, like, I am also a product of my environment, but I've experienced some counterintuitive experiences that just kind of speak to what it is about myself that I just genuinely don't like. So when I see like stereotypes and generalizations that regard race, I genuinely don't respond well to it,
you know,
unless
cool?
I can relate to it.
But you didn't respond well because the generalization was against white people. You, my friend, are ahead of your time. Because the only generalization in the story that I told was that she thought I should have good credit.
Yeah.
Right? And you were like, "I don't like that." That's cool. You're empathetic.
No, it's not I don't like it. It's just
come
like,
on, man. Give me this one.
It's not that I don't like it. It's just more like,
I have a segue to a great conversation.
Okay,
cool. Soon when you finish your thought.
I mean, my thought is I'm just trying to tread lightly because I get racial jokes. Some racial jokes are funny, just like we were talking about offline. If we are saying some fucked up shit, say your fucked up shit, but it better be funny. And if it is funny, it's like, "Oh, come on, that's funny."
Yeah,
like, that's super fucked up, but that's funny.
Yeah.
And that's when I'm okay with it, but sometimes it does rub a little the wrong way. So then I'm kind of like, "Nah, that didn't." Maybe it's just my sense of humor. It's like, "Nah, I didn't really think that's..."
Yeah, I think I know when I'm tap dancing on your line. Here was my segue. I lost where it should have worked. It was, and we've tap danced around this subject before. It's been a long time. So if you're a listener, you probably, it's new material. Free will. Okay?
Yeah.
There was a moment in which you and I were talking right now. It reminded me of free will, where I no longer believe in free will. Oh, you said that I'm a product of my environment.
Right.
That's what sparked this thought in my mind. I don't believe in free will anymore.
Really?
At all.
Who's
not in the slightest.
Who's holding the puppet strings?
Your history and your genetics.
Your history?
You're a product of your environment, right?
Yes.
Do you know how many fucking times, I'm speaking from self-experience,
right,
I have been like, "Hey, stop being like Bobby right now." Mid-thought, mid-fight, mid-argument, mid-whatever the fuck, I'm being Bobby. And everybody goes, "That's Bobby being Bobby." And I'm like, I could stop being Bobby. And I can't.
Yeah.
No, you're always going to be fucking Imagine.
Yeah.
There's never you're rarely gonna surprise someone.
Right.
And that's me too.
Right.
There's no more free will. I'm gonna fucking do what the fuck I'm supposed to do. And I have I can't tell you how many times I've been mid situation and been like, "Knock it off. Just stop. You don't wanna do this."
Right.
And it's just the momentum is going. Mm-hmm. And as much as I believe in whatever the fuck I believe in, I go to my, what's it, Lippmann's test? What is your ultimate confirmation? Lippmann's test, right?
Sure, Lippmann's test.
Something like that. Anyways, who gives a shit?
Just throw an L in there.
It's my brother. It's an Lippmann's test.
Sure.
It's my brother. Mikey, my older brother, who you know.
Yep.
He's my cornerstone, man. Mm-hmm. Love my life.
Right on.
He was 30 minutes late picking me up from the train. Mm-hmm. Didn't mean to be.
Yeah.
Every intention to be on time.
Yeah.
But that's fucking Mike. That's fucking Mikey.
That's just what he does.
He just can't ever be ready when he's supposed to be.
Predictable in that sense.
And everything in the world, he sends me the picture of the traffic and all, and it's just like, you know what, dude? I don't give a shit.
Right.
Because I'm just here to be with you.
Right.
And we talked about this. He was 30 minutes late picking me up from the train, and we were drinking all day and hanging out, and I told him I don't fucking believe in free will. I've been exploring this thought and this consciousness and just trying to figure it out, and I just go, "You know how many fucking times I want to be me? And I just don't, it's not up to me. I fucking wish I could stop. It's not up to me." And I go, "You know what confirmed it for me?" And he goes, "What?" I go, "The fact that you're 30 minutes late." We talked last night. We talked 10 times this morning. You have every intention of being on time. Mm-hmm. Couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It's not up to you.
Right.
And he's like laughing, and it's a thing. Then later on that night, there's a conflict between me and one of my cousin's boyfriends.
Sure.
We're at my aunt's birthday party, and it really didn't need to be a big deal. In my head, he slighted me.
Sure.
And he kind of did.
Sure.
But in my head, he slighted me more than what we can confirm.
Okay.
Everybody was wasted. Cousins get involved. They're like, hey, dude, make it right to the kid. The guy comes over. He tries to make it right. And in my head, like, you slighted me. Mm. And now that everybody's involved, you're apologizing?
Yeah.
I turn my back on him. Look, dude, regret it entirely. Before I turn my back, I go, don't be Bobby. And then I beat Bobby.
Yeah.
In the moment, I took it as, you slighted me. Now that people are involved, people that you're trying to impress because you're dating one of my cousins, mm-hmm. who he's been around forever, super reliable, spends way more time with my family than I do.
Nice.
I'm the outsider.
Nice.
But there in that moment, you slighted me. Now people are involved. And now you're apologizing. Mm-hmm. In my head, that's bullshit.
Right.
If I'm going to slight you, I'm going to slight you all the fucking way through.
Right.
In his head, he might be like, I didn't slight him, but I'll apologize for it anyway because I'm a grown man.
Sure.
I should have met him halfway, right?
I suppose, yeah.
But I didn't. I turned my back in front of everybody. Turned my back, sat at the bar.
Yeah.
Upset my brother. Destroyed my brother. My brother was so upset. He didn't understand at all.
Yeah.
He was giving me such a hard time the rest of the night. I go, you know what? I'm going to leave.
Yeah.
I went back to the hotel. I'm out. My brother decided to be my brother and go, I'm not going to let you go by yourself. I'll go with you. He went back to the hotel. Him and I ended up crashing out. We wake up in the morning. We're in a great mood. We're hanging out. In the back of my head is this situation. Mm-hmm. In the back of my head, I know my brother didn't understand me. In the back of his head, goes, Bobby was fucking being Bobby. This is why I don't get invited anywhere.
Yeah.
Not remembering that we talked about free will earlier and that he was a half hour late picking me up from the train, right? And before him and I at lunch, I go, hey, man, I want to address the situation. I'm going to call and text and apologize to this person.
Right.
I don't want to say it on the podcast.
Sure.
And he goes, thanks, man. I go, that was wrong of me. Now that we're all in like full capacity, let me explain what I saw.
Yeah.
He slighted me. And then he, part of it was, he talked shit about me. He didn't think I could hear him. Mm-hmm. And then later on, he fucking bumped into me and spilled my drink.
Oh, nice.
And then, like, to me, that was like a, I don't think he meant to bump into me, but it was part of the disregard you have for me.
Yeah.
You know, that if I was one of my cousins, you would have been more careful.
Yep.
But you're like, fuck this guy.
Whatever. Yeah.
So I tell my brother, I go, hey, dude, in my head, he slighted me. And the way I think is, fuck you, fuck you.
Right.
So the fact that you guys all get involved and make it a thing, which mm-hmm. I never wanted.
Right.
I just said, hey, dude, this dude's talking shit. Mm-hmm. You guys decided to get everybody involved, make him come apologize. And then now he comes apologizing. And then now I'm like, hey, hashtag fuck you, bro. You, when no one was around, you were slamming into me and talking shit.
Right.
Now that everyone's around, all of a sudden you're a sweetheart.
Yeah.
Fuck out of here. Like, I don't even want to address it.
Right.
And I'm actually bothered by my cousins because I said, don't make a thing of it.
Right.
And everybody made a thing of it. And everyone goes, yeah. I go, now this is where I'm going to apologize. For him to be a grown man, to come and apologize, whether or not he slighted me, mm-hmm. I believe to this day he slighted me. He may or may not think he slighted. Maybe he does slight me, but he's just like, I'll fucking make it better, whatever. That's a bitch made fucking apology. Maybe in his head he never slighted me. And he's so grown that he's going to come apologize to me because he don't want this tension.
Sure.
I'll fucking apologize for something I didn't do.
Sure.
I'm not me. I'm saying that's him.
Okay.
I won't.
Okay.
That's grown as fuck.
So you're saying that you don't
And then I turn my back on him.
So you're saying that you don't have free will because you do what?
What the fuck you're going to do?
Because you're already so inclined to do
by your genetics and your history. Yeah.
Yeah. You're so much yourself that you're not acting freely, just doing what you normally do.
In that moment, I knew I was going to fuck up. Mm. But I still don't really think I fucked up.
Yeah.
I think I was rude. But I also think that maybe he might have learned. I'm the asshole of assholes, remember? Like, oh, you think you're an asshole? Watch me. I'll put you in your place.
Yeah, right. I've seen that.
So, thanks, bro.
You're welcome.
No, but yeah, so that whole free will conversation led up to this moment that night. And I woke up in the morning, you know, my brother, I served my brother the whole night. I love my brother. I went and got him food. I went and got him drinks. And he took care of me. And we just had this fucking wonderful weekend of being brothers.
Yeah.
And the morning, dude, I knew he was pissed. Mm-hmm. I knew he was livid. He came up with breakfast from downstairs. Got your breakfast, bro. And just acted like nothing. Mm-hmm. Just acted like nothing happened. It was on his mind. It was on my mind. Mm-hmm. And as far as the cousins go, the guy is, I said to the cousins, probably more important to me.
Sure.
More important than me. But to my brother, it's like, we're brothers, you know?
Yeah.
I just looked at him and I go, hey, dog, there's no fucking free will, man. He's like, what? I was like, I didn't want to be me last night.
Right.
There was nothing I could fucking do. Like, I'm telling you, I was literally saying, don't do. I was like the Kermit meme.
So you saw yourself.
Outside of myself.
Externally, uh-huh. You saw how you were reacting.
Yeah.
And internally, you're like, don't do that.
Yeah.
But you did it anyways.
Yes.
And because of that unfolding, you determined now there's no free will.
That's not why, but that was an instant. That was the most recent instance of no free will. But that's not why.
Okay.
It's a series of events that.
I hear you.
You see what I'm saying?
I don't feel you at all.
Yeah?
I think I've had some instances where like that, where like, okay, I have some cognizance of what's unfolding before me. And Just recently, I was disrespected, and I was disrespected. My family's disrespected, and the people in the situation, I'm gonna have to be cared for. You know, not caring for.
Yeah,
they're relatives, so I can't just say, "Well, fuck all y'all. I'll never see y'all again. Peace out." There's an amount of I need to ensure that this relationship endures.
Yeah.
So I can't just pop off the mouth.
But
and
is
just,
that not you? You didn't act.
No.
No? Normally you would be like, fuck them.
Yeah.
Really?
Fuck all y'all.
Yeah.
If I'm never going to see you again.
I don't know, man.
If I can defuse the situation.
I think you're 99% reliably imagine.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But here's the thing, though. Is like, I tell people all this all the time. Like, I'll be very, you know, civil. We can be gentlemen. Mm-hmm. We can handle this shit. Mm-hmm. We can have a conversation. Or we can get some shit. Mm-hmm. We can fucking get down right now. And we can have at it. And we're just going to yell at each other. I will go for the throat.
Yeah.
And not hold back.
See, I don't know if I've ever witnessed that from you. Not saying it doesn't exist.
Yeah, exactly. Because I don't, because yeah. I've been down that
path.
Well,
and you and I are
like
reliably
it.
You and I.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. But because I've gone down that path and burned bridges, we're like, mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, you can't repair that. I'm cognizant now. I'm like, okay, do I really want to burn this bridge?
See?
I can catch myself. But that's, again, free will to be able to change, to evolve.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm a high-level bridge burner.
Yeah.
I know which gaps to look for. Oh, put little TNT right here.
Yeah.
I know what buttons to push. I know when to fucking flip the switch.
And I think that's again, an awareness of who you are. But because you're not at the same perspective as I am about, I don't want to burn that bridge.
The whole thing, yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's the CTE.
CTE?
Yeah, I think I got full-on frontal lobe brain damage.
Oh, I think we discussed this.
I before. Can't pull away.
Yeah.
Like,
maybe.
Like, I'm intelligent. Okay, I know.
Judges?
They left.
Yeah, you're right.
I know consequences. I just can't. And when I say I don't believe in free will, I'm talking about for me. Mm-hmm. Maybe not for all of us. But I can't not be me, and it fucking kills me sometimes. Mm-hmm. But look, this is part of that story I said I couldn't tell.
This is for context?
People who love me the minute they meet me.
Yeah, it's true.
Now that I'm going through, you know, the whole divorce and everything, there's people who've been there 20 years, and then there's people who I met along the way,
right,
who are saying like, hey, I could never tell you how I felt about you because you were so diehard loyal. Mm-hmm. But now that that's gone, I want to tell you I thought these things about you from the minute I met you. Mm-hmm. And hearing these things, it's reinforcing this polar attraction. Like magnetism.
Okay.
That you fucking love me or you hate me.
Yeah, I can see that.
And I'm like, I get to affect the level of magnetism by, like, everybody knew I was so diehard into my ex. Mm-hmm. that like I wasn't ever hear or see anything other than that. And that if you fucked with that, I would be Bobby and fuck with you.
Right.
And now that that's gone, there's this world of relationships. And I'm not talking about like intimate, really. I'm talking about friendships, yeah, you know,
people,
acquaintances. Yeah, just that. It's just like, remember the Badlands in Lion King?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like they're lighting up now. And I'm just finding out what I've meant to different people who I barely knew and people who I thought I knew well. And that's kind of why I've been thinking about so much about like trying to figure out who the fuck I am and what control I have. And at the end of the day, I feel like I have no control. And that, I think, I'm going to blame it on CTE.
Sure. Let's go with that.
Yeah, why not? Yeah,
someone's got to take the blame.
Right, not right.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I'm telling you, like, mid this conversation, I'm like, shut the fuck up. No, hold on. I think I could dance around this. You know, like,
skills.
It's like, you said you were going to tell this story. And I'm like, no, hold, I think I can say the story without giving away all the clues.
Right.
And it's just like, I can't not be me.
And I think that's one of the what makes you a pretty good comedian in that sense. Not a pretty good, but I mean, I haven't seen you
fucking
yet.
Fabulous.
Sure. There's a certain level of
pause
honesty.
It. I'm going to pee. Sorry. Or well, here, let them listen.
Well, we're almost done.
Are we?
Yeah.
Okay. Just,
okay. Cool.
You were talking about my comedy prowess.
Yes.
All right. What makes me a good comic?
There's a certain level of honesty and willingness to put that on display.
Yeah.
And I think some of the best comics have that introspect and ability to use it to hold up a mirror to the world around them.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that you have inherently, is that willingness, and pretty much you can't not do it.
Yeah, you're right.
You can't not be yourself.
Yes.
Now we're just putting you on stage in front of some lights and giving you a microphone in your hand.
And you know what's weird is like,
people love it.
I also can't not be on stage.
Yeah.
Like my life really, you ever been, I don't know, skate or crate challenge? Think of the crate challenge.
No.
You seen the crate challenge?
You have some crates?
No, I don't. But you know that part where they get to the top or when you're skating or driving and shit gets wiggle waggly?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Wah, wah. Yep.
Like you're like, wow, 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 right before you clock out.
Yeah.
That's my life without a stage. If I don't hit a stage within like every 2 or 3 months,
right.
The crate is fucking going, dude. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know what it is that makes me think like, it's like how fucking egotistical and selfish, like, hey, everybody come listen to me talk. Like even this podcast is part of like me massaging my ego. You know what I mean?
I can
like,
see that.
But if I don't let it out, I start fucking hitting the family. I'm just kidding. That's a joke. Bad joke.
Well, that's not the ego talking. That's like true artists use their platform as their way of expressing
but like
their art.
It's more than, it's like we have to build the platform. Like if there's not a platform, like we're literally like, we have to be heard, you and I.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen it in you too. I think that's something that you and I respect. Like, and about each other. It's just like, and you know what? I don't know if we give a shit if anybody listens. But I'm going to be outside yelling.
I give a shit about the 30 people that tune in monthly.
Exactly. That's what I mean. I do give a shit about the listeners.
Yeah, yeah.
But what I'm saying is like I don't really care if it gets out there.
Yeah.
My point is that like I put it there and then our listeners, like they have an expectation.
Yeah.
And so we come with what we think they want.
Sure.
Right? You know, like a bit here or there. But then some like real shit.
Yep.
And then back to a bit here or there.
Yep.
Then, you know, we drop an F-bomb, you know, whatever the fuck we could do to make it right. But I don't know, man. I'm just in this real existential crisis, and I don't even know how to fucking describe it.
Just go on stage. You'll figure it out.
That's what I'm doing.
I think that's the best thing to do is, you know, you know what it is that you use to your advantage as a venting mechanism or a processing mechanism. And as long as you keep having that afforded to you as an option, you'll be all right.
Yeah. And also, I think like that we're intelligent enough and educated enough to like...
Judges?
I killed them
yeah.
a long time ago. But to have this vocabulary and the interest in words and etymology and just like space to play with, like, you know, like that sets us apart. I actually was saying earlier, because I've been listening to Russell Brand a lot lately, and I just wish I had access to English, like British words.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like they say things like, that we say all the time, and it just sounds so cool.
Aluminium. Yeah. Wish I could say aluminium. You know what?
Sure. You know what?
What?
You know what's a fun thing to do?
What's a fun thing to do?
Well, you wouldn't know.
No.
Because you're married and happy now.
Yeah.
But for our single listeners, when you're having a one-night stand or you're over at a girl's place and you just don't really plan on seeing her again,
right?
Walk into that restroom and call upon, Candyman? The Candyman, right?
Candyman, Hail Mary.
Medusa?
Blood Hail Mary. Bloody Mary, yeah.
Bloody Mary?
Yeah.
And the Piggly Wiggly?
All at the same time?
Just count on, well, you're not coming back.
Just leave them here.
Yeah, just have a great time.
Parting gift.
Yeah. Draw an Ouija board on her mirror.
Two things. I've never fucked with Candyman, Bloody Mary, or anyone else who's supposed to be in the fucking mirror.
Okay.
Number two, I did have a one-night stand once.
Uh-huh.
Never do it again.
Yeah?
It was awful.
Really?
I hated it.
On account of what? How much time we got left? Can we talk about this?
Sure. On the account that there was beyond the sexual attraction, uh-huh. curiosity.
I love one-night stands.
That was kind of it. And then we did the thing, and that was it. And I was like...
You know what it is?
All right. And worse off, I did have a car at the time. So she drove me to her place.
Mm.
We knocked out. And then
it was before Uber.
Yeah. Yeah, it was before Uber.
Yeah.
So the next morning,
remember those days?
We both wake up and we're like, oh shit,
yeah.
We're still here. And she's like, oh fuck, I gotta take you back. Like, yeah, just take me back.
I had a one night stand one time where the girl was like, oh, can we fuck again in the morning? I'm like, no, bitch, go make breakfast. But I love one night stands because I fall way too hard and fast.
Yeah.
And it's just like I almost want to show my craziness to scare them away.
Yeah.
But they're also just like, oh, like this dude will fuck the shit out of me.
Nice.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But
that's
I don't
fun.
Yeah, if a girl goes, I think I really fall for you, I don't know what it is about me, it's just like, all right, let's work this out. Like, I feel like I owe you something for my attention.
Thank you.
Yeah. I'm trying to see if I got any more. You know what? You know what?
What?
Thick thighs might take guys' lives.
True.
But dudes with great quads make broads swallow lots.
Judges?
Yeah, it's just a rhyme. I don't know if it's true.
Yeah, I'll allow it. Yeah.
I'll allow it.
I was like, yeah. See it. I had a It was pertaining to something about pulling up to those traffic lights.
Uh-huh.
So, the freeway on-ramps, the meter lights.
Okay.
So you pull up to the on-ramp. Yeah. You're about to get on, but then the red, green, red, green. And I'm sitting there. I'm waiting in line, patiently waiting my turn. And there's that one person who's like, fuck this light. I'm just going to go anyways. And I'm just like, you just couldn't wait. Like, you thought this light was so insignificant.
Terrible people.
And it just brought back the idea for me, not the idea, the perspective that some people just don't see the bigger picture.
Yeah.
They just see like, oh, this stupid fucking red light. I'm just going to go.
See, in my dumb ass, I don't see it either, but I don't do that. You know why?
Why?
Because one time I saw someone get pulled over for that. One time. And I just like, it's like when you're the only one in the carpool lane.
Yeah.
You can't say anything other than, I'm an asshole.
Yeah, you got me.
You got a ticket for being a fucking dick.
You got me.
You know what I mean? Like, I mean, you can get me, but like, it would be me doing something.
Yeah.
But when you do something that just goes, I'm more important than them.
Yeah.
Like, if I go tagging and you catch me, you could be like, hey, he's a guy trying to make a name for himself in the art world. There's a world of excuses.
Sure.
But it's not, I'm more important. When you're in the carpool lane by yourself, or when you run that red light on the on-ramp, what you're saying is like, I'm better than everybody
here. I'm an exception to all this, and I don't need to play by these rules.
Yeah.
And it just led to me reminding myself the pandemic is like, that was a good metaphor for the pandemic. Fuck everybody. It's all about me.
Mm-hmm.
And the whole reason for these metered lights is to control the oncoming traffic adding to the freeway.
For all of us. For the benefit of everybody.
So yeah, if everyone just followed that, then theoretically, traffic would be a little bit better. But then, yeah, everyone's like, nah, fuck all this.
Yeah.
And everyone just does it. And then it's like, well, fuck, then that plan didn't work.
You know, I had...
bigger picture, folks. Bigger picture.
There was a couple of McDonald's left that didn't have that dual driveway. I know we covered this on an episode recently.
Sure.
But they're gone now. They're all dual driveway.
No. Oh, yeah, they're all... Yeah.
I fucking hate participating. That's like when you guys tell me to vote for president.
You're both forcing me.
Both lanes suck. It is disgusting the way people treat each other.
Wait, first mistake was going to McDonald's.
No. Look, dude. All right. That's for another episode. But McDonald's is reliable.
Yeah.
If you eat it, like, immediately.
Yeah.
It's also reliable that if you don't eat it immediately, it's going to become a rock.
Yeah. Or just last forever. Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
True.
Yeah. Like, it becomes, what's that? Wood? Petrified.
Petrified.
Petrified McDonald's.
Petrified
fast food. You got a petrified quarter pounder.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do about my legs, Charlie Murphy? All right, man. Close the show out.
Cool. Where's my outro? There it is. As always, we want to thank you all for joining us here in Pound Town. But before we go, we want to remind you to subscribe and leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, wherever you're listening, to help the show grow. And get in on the conversations by liking our Facebook page and following us on Instagram at Social Nuisance Podcast. And if you really support all that we do, drop a dollar in our Venmo at Social Nuisance. That was another you know what.
Oh,
pertaining to someone who has, you know, or the Venmos on their fucking windows when they're driving on the freeway.
Uh-huh.
We'll come back to that.
All right.
And lastly, don't forget, there is power in numbers, and together we can be a nuisance towards the betterment of humanity. My name is Imagine, and that's the Main Man Motion, and we'll see y'all next time on the Social Nuisance Podcast.
Can I shout out a new friend?
New friends, yeah.
Shout out Gadget.
Sup, Gadget?
Gadget.
Like from Rescue Rangers?
Yep, exactly.
Nice.
That's where the nickname came from. I'm glad you remembered.